Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska, or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. We've got a fine show and a fine guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today will be Helen Beaver Warner, and she's going to be in the studio with us in just a couple of minutes. But first, we want to do what we do, and you know what that is, and that's have a little contest. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's find out who is located at the phone number at 456-6156, and the third person that will phone me and give me who they are, where they are, and what they do, will receive a 1 ounce silver eagle from Oxford Assaying and Refining. And you know where Oxford Assaying and Refining is located. That's at 802 Wendell Street. And of course, their phone number is 456-3769. Now, we want to know who is located at 456-6156. We want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And by the way, we also want to know who the person is that you talked to over there when you got that information. Now, the third person that calls me is going to win the Silver Eagle, but the first two people are going to win a quartz crystal from Alaskan Prospectors. And you know where Alaskan Prospectors is. They're at 504 College Road, and their phone number is 452-7398. So, as soon as we get a call regarding who those people are, where they're located, and what they do, we'll start answering the phone. Hi, you're on the air. You're caller number one. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Jim.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. That's Gabe's Truck and Auto.
Gabe's Truck and Auto. Hey, you're caller number one, my friend, and you've just won a quartz crystal from Alaskan Prospectors. You want to stop over there tomorrow or Saturday and pick it up?
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're caller number two. Hello? Hello, you're caller number two.
Well, hi there.
Hi there.
They're Gabe's Truck and Auto, and I was talking to Nikki.
You were talking to Nikki.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you're caller number two, and we're looking for one more caller, and you have just won a quartz crystal from Alaskan Prospectors located at 504 College Road.
Okay.
And thank you very much for participating. Hi, you're caller number three.
Hi, wow. It's Gabe's Auto, and they're off of Shacky? Shack? Something like that, isn't it? It's down off of Van Horn, I believe.
Off of Van Horn, right.
Yes. And they're mechanics. They work on cars and trucks and all different kinds and sizes. And I spoke to Smokey, and he laughed when I told him what I was doing.
He laughed?
Yeah.
He laughed?
Yeah, I guess he hadn't been listening to the radio or whatever.
And did Smokey, well, tell me something. Gabe's Truck and Auto is located, what was the phone number that you called?
456-6156.
456-6156.
Uh-huh.
And you talk to Smokey.
Uh-huh.
And you say they do auto work over there?
Mm-hmm. All kinds of mechanical and repair work.
Do they work on trucks?
Yes. All sizes and all kinds.
All sizes and all kinds. Do they have IM inspection?
I think I've heard them advertise that they do, and they don't. You don't have to pay if it doesn't pass.
Here's a quick question for you. What's the name of this show?
What show? Alaska Gold Trails.
Good girl. Hey.
Yes?
What happens if you go over to Gabe's Truck and Auto and you have an IM inspection and you don't pass?
Don't pay.
You don't pay. You like that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I better. I hope my car passes, though.
Tell me something else.
Yes.
Do you know that they've got three tow trucks over there in case you run into trouble along the road?
No, I didn't know that, but that's good to know.
Yeah, you know what's also nice to do?
What?
Is to put their phone number, it's 456-6156, in your glove box in case you run into trouble on the road. Then you have easy access to that number and give them a quick call. They'll come right out and take care of you. You know that.
Yes, well, I will. I know my son goes there all the time. He swears by them.
He does?
Yes, he does.
You want to take a lead from your son then, don't you?
Yeah. Knock on wood, I haven't had to have any mechanical repairs yet, but...
Well, if you will give me your name... I will fill out this sheet of paper that I have here so that you can come in here to KFAR Radio,
mm-hmm.
pick up this certificate, and then take it over to Oxford Assaying and Refining. You talk to Dee Church over there and tell her how happy you are to receive that 1988 Silver Eagle that she's trying to give you. Okay. What's your name?
Okay, my first name is Susan.
Susan.
And my last initial is H, which I'll give you my name off the air, but I'd rather not say it on the air.
Well, Susan H, I'll tell you what, that's enough. And I'll have the certificate ready for you at the desk outside. You just drop in, pick it up, and then take it over to Oxford. Where's Oxford located? I forgot.
I don't know. I was going to look in the phone book.
Oh, it's 208 Wendell. I just remembered.
Oh, okay, 208. Oh, it's on the curve there, kind of like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know where it's at.
Okay, big sign on the building. Can't miss it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, here we are with Helen Beaver Warner sitting right here in the studio with me. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Welcome, Helen, to Alaska Gold Trails.
I think I've been trotting along those trails for quite a while, Jim.
I think you have, too. You've been a long-time Alaskan. You've participated in the mining industry. Helen, give us a little background of where you were born and what kind of area you came from.
Well, I was born in San Francisco, California, and I was raised in a more rural setting or North Bay setting back in the days when that was country, chicken capital of the world.
Chicken capital?
Yes.
How does an area get a chicken capital name? What makes it a chicken capital?
Well, I think it was they produced the most eggs of any little given area. So it was called an egg basket and it was known as the chicken capital.
Why wasn't it called the egg capital?
I think the farmers thought the chickens came first.
I see. We have a phone call. Let's see what's going on. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes. Jim Madonna.
Yes.
This is Gene Foley.
Hi, Gene Foley. How are you today?
Oh, just fine. I wanted to call you up and, I guess, publicly thank the Oxford Mining for the prize that I won, of which I was part of your class here this last week, that I had won, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when you announced that on the air.
That's right. Oxford Assaying and Refining paid the tuition for a student to attend the Placer Evaluation Workshop at the Mining Extension University of Alaska. Is that correct?
Yes, it did.
And what did you have to do to go to collect that prize?
Oh, I drove downtown, went up to their office, and signed the paper, and that was it.
And where did you hear about the prize?
I heard it on the radio when I was driving downtown here 2 weeks ago.
On KFAR?
Right.
Alaska Gold Trails?
Right.
It pays to listen. Look, thank you very much for the call, and I think that Oxford's done a fine thing by promoting the education of the mining industry here. And I hope you benefited from the class. How'd you like it?
Oh, I liked the class very much. I was especially impressed because of the not only the technology and the technological aspect, but the fact that that your instructors were also successful mining people that brought a lot of expertise into the picture that beyond the technical.
Well, we these people have been around a long time. They've had a good history in the Alaskan mining community, and I think that we all prospered in having exposure to them. And they're just great, and that they give so freely of their time, Gene, that you know, you can't thank them enough.
Well, I'd like to thank them anyway. So
yeah, and I ought to mention their name. That Milt Wiltsey, of course, was from the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. We'll turn that off, and we'll then there was Del Ackles, who was a miner, a longtime miner in the interior of Alaska, and Doug Culp was there, who has spent, you know, decades in the industry, and of course Ernie Wolf also helped me out on the program. So, you know, these are all heavyweights in the industry. It was a pleasure to be with them. Thanks again for your call, Gene, and I hope you come and see me again at the classes there at the University of Alaska.
Okay, and thank you very much.
Bye, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Helen, we're back with you, and we were talking about eggs.
And chickens.
And chickens. Well, tell me, well, tell the audience, where you grew up in this the chicken capital of the world?
Mm-hmm.
To what age?
Until I was about 15.
So you were about 15. And where did you go then?
Oregon.
Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Klamath Falls.
Klamath Falls. What in the world did you do in Oregon?
Finished growing up.
You were 15 years old, so you finished growing up. Where did you go to school, college, following your high school years, or did you, mm-hmm. there in Oregon?
I left Klamath Falls, Oregon, went 1 year to Stanford, and then transferred to a small school outside of Portland, Pacific University, and that's where I got my bachelor's degree.
The following your bachelor's degree, did you go into industry, or
mm-hmm.
What did you do there?
I took off from a bachelor's degree with a whole $100 bill for a graduation present and went to Los Angeles and went to work in the space industry. As I had a degree in math, and computers were just coming into the common industrial.
Uh-huh.
So I went to work for Northrop Space Laboratories and worked on the guidance system for Project Apollo and Project Ranger.
Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you work at that?
I worked at that for 3 years, and then I went back to school to get a master's degree.
And where did you go to school then?
Up at Oregon State.
And did you complete your master's degree program there?
I completed most of the coursework,
mm-hmm.
and went back to my job and went to Livermore,
mm-hmm.
And worked for the Atomic Energy Commission until I came up here to Alaska. I finished my master's here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Uh-huh. So, you say you were working in Livermore,
mm-hmm.
and just exactly what were you doing? What did your job entail there at the energy?
I was working in a division called Radiochemistry Division, and I was a mathematician. I was maintaining two of their production computer programs on yield analysis and on accounting and decay curve analysis.
Uh-huh. When you say decay curve, are we talking about the disintegration of things like uranium to its daughter
mm-hmm.
isotopes? So you were working then with decay rates, times, and lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how does this apply into the industry then? Does it deal with things such as the nuclear energy plants that? Or
it depended entirely on what the program had, you know, what had generated the decay that was being analyzed. A lot of the work down there at the time was done under a project called Plowshare, which was peaceful applications of nuclear energy.
Tell me what kind of people worked down there. Were they nice people?
Well, they were tremendously wonderful people.
Yeah. Well, there was one person that you met down there that was particularly wonderful. What was his name?
You mean when I was taking a graduate class in radiochemistry and nuclear physics?
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah,
wow.
That's where I met my husband.
Oh, what was his name?
Henry Warner.
Henry Warner. Yeah, and tell me, what did Henry do there? Was he involved in, was he working in the same place that you were working, or was he, did you meet him at school?
Actually, they would teach classes from the University of California at Davis or University of California, Berkeley, right on the lab premise. And both Henry and I happened to have registered for a course in radiochemistry and nuclear physics. And Henry was the principal research technician for chemistry, so he worked over in Building 312, I believe, or some wonderful designation, and I was over in headquarters for radiochemistry. But we sat next to each other in a class.
Oh, sounds romantic.
It was wonderful.
I want to hear more about it just after these little messages that we're going to have here.
Dynasty welcomes you. Chinese cuisine beyond compare. Experience the Far East, the savory smells, the colorful entrees. Dynasty welcomes you to the garden of culinary delights. Dynasty waits to serve you tonight. For authentic Chinese cuisine, visit Dynasty for their luncheon buffet or dinner, or let Dynasty visit you with home delivery tonight, 456-6600. Eat at your house or eat at their house, but make it Dynasty. 456-6600 for reservations or home delivery. This Christmas, the present you should open first is your new Panasonic OmniMovie video camcorder from Golden North Home Center. With the OmniMovie, you'll record all the excitement and fun of your children as they open their gifts. If you choose the camcorder with SVHS, your pictures will be sharper and clearer than any you've seen before. Prices start as low as $9.99. Come by Golden North Home Center at 845 College Road for a demonstration and ask to see the Panasonic VCRs. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sundays.
You folks know we're always looking for better and more innovative ways to help you buy a new car or truck. Well, try this one on for size. I have 20 brand new Tempos. You rent one of them for up to 4 months. At the end of 4 months, you want to buy it. We'll apply all your rental fees to the down payment. That should be enough. You decide you don't want the car, bring us the car, hand us the keys, go on your merry way. Now, you can't get this deal anyplace else in this part of the world, but you can get it right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
Beaver, tell us a little bit more about your introduction to Henry.
It was really rather calm. We were arguing about valence.
Valence. Now, that sounds like a term that's a mystery to a lot of people. Valence. Is that positive? Does that have anything to do with positive and negative charges?
Yes, it does.
Well, tell us about that.
We were discussing, this indeed is how we happened to get into this, as to whether chlorine had only one valence or whether perhaps it could behave with two different valences, and how you would establish whether there was one or two different ones. And it led to a longer discussion and led to a gold mine in Alaska.
Something tells me it didn't stay with valences very long. And it led to, well, how did it happen that you decided to come to Alaska and look at gold mines? I mean, what kind of conversation could continue on the path from valence to gold mines? Were you discussing the valence of gold, or what?
Well, we did discuss the fact that gold was one of the more noble metals. Henry was involved in mining down in Nevada. They were doing a lot of the testing underground in those days, and he did a lot of mine sampling or sample collection down at Nevada. And my mother had been up here and had been looking at some mining property. And conversationally, I mentioned mother and a gold mine. And it progressed to, ultimately got around to, mother knew a man who had two. In essence, he had a spare.
I see. And so then what you and Henry then must have made some plans to come up. What year was that?
That was it was the fall of 1963, and we came up in the spring of 1964. And the gentleman that we bought the mine from was McGee.
He's the man that originally staked, Porcupine Creek, wasn't he? And on down to Crooked Creek, is that correct?
He staked it in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
It had been staked prior to that, let's see, in the earlier days, the Dutch kid, who was Albert Martin, was located up there in 1938, and Weston Vick, Lars Weston Vick had been there, The property had been staked as early as 1904, I believe. I was looking in some old records down here at the courthouse one day and found out there was a recording district at the confluence of Bonanza and Porcupine Creek somewhere back about 1904, 1905.
It's kind of fun to go through the history of an area before you get into it. Well, even afterwards, to learn more and more about the history and find out what the old timers did. Did they ever do drift mining on that in that particular area in an extensive way?
No, Porcupine was discontinuous permafrost, and of course the drift mining was far more effective when it was frost all the way down.
Right.
Because if it was discontinuous, of course, it caved.
And it also had free-running water.
Yes.
So that created a problem. Look, I want to get back to more about this mining adventure that you had when you and Henry first came up to Alaska just after these few messages.
By now, you've probably heard of University Resume Service Alaska. Hi, I'm Phil Deischer, owner of University Resume. University Resume Service has been producing custom resumes in Fairbanks for 8 years. We are a professional writing business, and we have helped literally hundreds of people from every trade and profession sell themselves on paper. Professional writing is more than just typing. Indeed, professional writing is a unique skill, the way every profession is unique. Professional writing applied to your resume can give you the edge in landing the interview, which could lead to the job you want. A resume, which has numerous uses, usually takes about 2 hours to write. No more struggling over how to sell yourself on paper. In 2 hours or less, University Resume can have you armed with a custom resume and seeking the job you need for the career you want. For any kind of career writing, from resumes to loan applications, federal form SF-171 federal and state applications, call University Resume Service Alaska at 479-5747. For all types of professional writing, we're in the yellow pages under resumes.
So now that the TV rating period is over and we know that NBC won the November sweeps, well, what have we got? Tonight, NBC is repeating this season's premiere episode of Cheers for us. That show originally ran 5 weeks ago. Roger and Jessica Rabbit say yes, they will be presenters at this year's Oscars. Russell Grant, astrologer for the royal family, has a new call-in horoscope running around this country. Russell says that astrology can be helpful, but it won't predict your future.
Very often people assume that astrology is some kind of fortune telling, that an astrologer will wave a magic wand and all the problems will disappear. It's not like that. What astrology says is you have a God-given mind. Use your mind to make the choices.
And yes, Eddie Murphy has bought Cher's Santa Monica home, the one we saw in the Barbara Walters special, for some $6 million. Now, if you need a house in nearby Holmley Hills, Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson have put theirs on the market. Former owners include Dan Rowan and George Harrison. Today's list price, $6 million. I'm Joanna Langfield.
The shopping trip. Use an ordinary credit card and you'll get stuck in traffic. Fight crowds and listen to crying children. Use the Discover card and you'll get stuck in traffic. Fight crowds, listen to crying children, and actually earn cash every year, up to 1% back based on your yearly purchases. It's your call. It pays to Discover, the card that pays you back.
You can search, but there's only one place you'll find a holiday sale this big. All Kenmore appliances, microwaves, refrigerators, washers, dryers, and a whole lot more. All electronics, too. TVs, stereos, VCRs, and everything in the furniture department. Everything. Chairs, sofas, all living rooms, bedding and bedrooms, even carpeting. It's all here, now, only at Sears.
This Christmas, you can save big on that extra special gift by shopping at Hoyt's Jewelry. With prices up to 50% off, you can't afford to shop anywhere else but Hoyt's Jewelry. Choose from our wide range of gift ideas and get the most for your Christmas dollar. Our unbeatable quality at low, low prices. Hoyt's Jewelry, 541 2nd Avenue, downtown, open Monday through Friday till 8 p.m. and Saturday till 4.
Beaver, let's get back to this gold mining in Alaska, this exciting adventure. You know, a few years back, I hiked up Porcupine Creek, and I noticed that there had been not necessarily drift mining, but they did drop shafts to bedrock in, or these were called exploration shafts, to determine if they would hit the pay. And I noticed that there was several old cabins along the line, and that there were several cribbings, which were the supports for the overlying muck, to keep the muck from caving in on the miners. So, yes, they did drop shafts to bedrock in an effort to locate the pay streaks. I'm sure that up in your area that you found, in the upper limits of Porcupine, you found...
Several.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, give us a little bit of the history surrounding that. Do you have any of the background other than who the original claim stakers were? Is there anything else that you might know?
Well, when we first bought the property, Mrs. Miller from Miller House and Frank were still there. That was in 1964. And she used to tell me a lot of stories about how much gold had been shipped through the post office there. And there are some unsubstantiated rumors. I understand the Dutch Kid mine there for several years, but at one point he was leasing. And at one point he decided to take a wife who happened to be the owner's wife. And in the process...
He didn't care whose wife he took, he just took one, is that it?
Well, now he married this lady.
Oh, I see.
But the owner decided to raise the royalty at this point, and the Dutch Kid's response to that was, I don't think that's very good business. I'm assuming you're overhead.
I see. Is that the only historical comment that you have about the area?
Well, I think that probably one of the nicest history comments I've read of the whole area was I just happened to be rereading for the second time in several years John McPhee's book, Coming Into the Country, and he's got quite a bit of write-up to that area in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a few questions that you might be able to answer regarding the roadhouse there that you just mentioned. What's the name of that road?
It was Miller House.
Miller House. What is it? What was the Miller House? Explain that to us.
Well, I believe it was the oldest post office in the district, in the area. You know, that Circle was struck before, see, as I understand it, Circle was struck before Dawson.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the Miller House was associated with the Circle strike. It was owned, in 1935, I believe, the Millers bought it. And prior to that, it had been owned by Kelly, but it had been built by a Frank Miller, or Fritz Miller, early on, and it was a normal roadhouse for the Winter Trail.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an exciting one. Mrs. Miller had, of course, operated it from the 30s and had the reputation of being probably the finest cook in the interior. I understand when President Harding was here that she came in from Miller House to bake for the presidential party.
I see. When you went into Porcupine, did you purchase that? Then you and Henry came up to Fairbanks. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the story behind that. Is there a little? Yeah. What did? Were you married when you came up to Fairbanks, or what was a?
No, my mother came up with me.
Oh, your mother came up with
my mother and my stepfather and Henry and I came up.
I see.
And they looked at a property on the other side of Eagle Summit, and Henry and I dealt with Mr. McGee, with Mac, to buy Porcupine. And then my mother stayed until Henry proposed.
Uh-huh.
And we got married the following year.
She had to make certain that her daughter was going to be taken care of, is that right?
And she certainly wasn't going to abandon me in Alaska or allow the neighbors in Oregon to talk.
Not with a guy like Henry, that devil.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. What, then you and Henry got the Porcupine. How large of area is that, Porcupine Holdings, that you have?
Originally it was 56 claims.
56 claims. And what is the size of
a 20-acre claim.
20-acre claim. You had 56 claims. Mm-hmm. And you've mined that area since 1964 or thereabout?
Mm-hmm. On an intermittent basis.
And let's answer the phone, see if we've got a question for you, Helen. Hi, you're on the air.
Is Helen there?
Sure is.
Helen, how did you make out on your political thing?
Close. But not good enough.
Oh, try again.
About 300 votes.
Try again.
Certainly.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Tell me, did you start mining using the open-cut method that has become prevalent today in the mining business, or was it... Did you have large equipment like caps and sluice boxes and things of that nature?
Over time. We started out digging handholes to confirm value, just like the old timers did. And then we leased a cat. So we had cat and sluice box. And over time we had acquired equipment, and we never hydraulicked in the classic hydraulic mining sense. This last year I operated with a D8, two 966s, a 10 by 12 pump, 100% recycle, which we never would have dreamed of 24 years ago, unless you didn't have water, but you certainly didn't recycle for environmental reasons.
But now you're in full recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Is it working out for you?
Yes.
And so you solved a lot of problems regarding water and quality.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the cutting edge of something here a few years ago, if I recall correctly, and I just want to interject this at this point, that if I recall, didn't you provide an area for the DEC to conduct settling pond experimentation several years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they came in and actually created the model for settling ponds statewide, isn't that correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh, right on your property.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. We have another call here for you, Helen. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. It was leasee that handled the settling ponds and did the engineering to make it a perfect thing.
What did I say?
What I'm saying is it was not Mrs. Warner or Henry Warner who made the settling ponds. The state couldn't manufacture them well enough, and the engineering was done by other people who were leasing the ground from the Warners.
That's important. The point was that DEC had an error. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so we did then get the settling pond project underway, and that led to a little bit better technology in that area.
Mm-hmm.
The other areas that you've currently been doing some work is in reclamation, and I'd like to come back in just a minute and talk about reclamation and what you've been doing in that area.
If your water can talk, would it sound like this?
You like that rust stain I left in your sink?
Then it sounds like you've got problem water, which ruins your clothes and doesn't even smell very good.
Let's not get personal.
Call your Culligan man. He'll solve your water problems with a Culligan water conditioner.
I was tired of doing the dirty work anyway.
Take care with Culligan.
Call Culligan today. Call 474-0272. That's 474-0272.
There is not a soul within the sound of my voice that can deny the snow and ice will be with us for the next 5 months or so. But listen, you will not slip and slide all winter when you purchase a new four-wheel drive Subaru from Fairbanks Motors. Here's your opportunity. Fairbanks Motors is offering a special of $98.75 on 1988 Subaru four-wheel drive hatchbacks. Limited to stock on hand. Hurry and see the Subaru difference for yourself at Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman, just south of Van Horn.
North Pole Music is ready for that musician or aspiring musician on your Christmas list. North Pole Music will light up their eyes with stocking stuffers and gifts like these. Electronic tuners, drumsticks, practice pads, Sesame Street musical toys and instruction books, colorful toy tambourines and maracas, and sheet music. North Pole Music has PCM keyboards by Techniques and a beautiful selection of Guild and Charvel guitars. Just off Badger Road by Telephone Utilities and Advance Printing. North Pole Music, the musician's Christmas store.
Helen, you said that you're currently open-cut mining up there using cats and sluice boxes. Exactly, what kind of sluice box do you use?
I have a three-channel Hector.
A three-channel Hector. Is that a pretty effective sluice box?
It's been working very well.
Uh-huh. The effect of the three channels, the way I understand it, is that the two channels on the outside gives more efficient fine gold recovery. Is that correct?
Theoretically, yes. We've found fine gold well distributed throughout the box.
Mm-hmm. And you feel that the Hector box is doing pretty well. And I should point out that Hector is one of the sponsors of this program. And I noticed that in my position with the university that requires that I go around and visit a variety of mines, that the biggest percentage of the miners are using the Hector sluice boxes, and each and every one of them indicates to me that the Hector's box is one of the most efficient boxes on the market. And of course, we're kind of proud here in Fairbanks, Alaska, that we are, in fact, the home of Hector, and we're proud of the fact that Hector has taken the time to develop his multiple channel sluice boxes, provide them for the placer mining industry. And I'd like to point out a little bit farther that Hector's can build a sluice box to any personal specifications that you might like. So if you want one bigger, you want one smaller, you want one that'll handle 300 cubic yards an hour, or you want one that'll handle 25 cubic yards an hour, the place to go is Hector's. And besides that, they have a lot of other services that they offer us. You know, they replace dozer blades, and they rebuild loader buckets, and all these things go hand in hand with the mining industry, and these repairs are a necessary part to maintain a good, profitable mining operation. And of course, like we pointed out, not only do they build sluice boxes and fabricate them to your special specifications, they also do conveyors and feeders and grizzlies and screening plants. So, for the mining community, we would be happy to direct them to Hector's. And in addition to that, people in the mining community might also like to know that Hector's is the gel log distributor, and that they have a free kit out there if you want to investigate that flocculant material. They have a free kit available to you, and all you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. And remember, it's free. So, that's Hector's Welding. They're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and their phone number is 488-6432. And by the way, tell them you heard of their business on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna. And you can also mention Helen's name, I'm sure. That'll be nice. Again, their phone number is 488-6432, and we've got a call here. Helen? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Since you started getting into recovery processes here, I was wondering if you had heard about the process that the Israelis, the Russian immigrant scientists have just developed in Israel. That's a solvent type process that works a lot like the cyanization heat bleach technology that we now have. And that's being used up on, where is it, up there on Esther Dome.
Yes.
But this process, I guess, is totally non-toxic and looks like a brand new, they come up with some kind of brand new formula that will basically dissolve the gold in the rock, comes out in solution just like you have in the heat bleach now. And you use electrolysis again to recover the gold out of that. But I was just curious whether or not you had heard, you had any more details on that, or were looking into it, or.
Well, as a matter of fact, I just returned from a international gold conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, and there was a chap from in situ down there that was speaking about in-place mining of precious metals. Through circulation of different types of solutions. And they would pump it down and through the deposit, and then they would pump it back up. And then, like you pointed out, extract the precious metals electrolytically. So, yes, it's a growing thing, and it's a brand new thing, and we're looking into it heavily here. And I'm happy that you brought that to focus here on the radio, because there's some new things happening out there in the mining industry. But like any new thing, we're going to have to iron out the wrinkles in order to get them initiated.
Right.
So.
The thing that really caught my ear on this, I caught it on the news late last night. I think it was CNN or whatever. But was that it's actually less expensive to use this. Their technology, this new solution, than to use the current cyanide process, that that solution. So I think it's something that as a person from the mining extension up at the U, that perhaps you could speak to the dean and maybe get some more information on that.
The I can speak to the dean.
Okay.
The beauty of it is that these things, like you pointed out, one of them is non-toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not saying that just one. The characteristic of the thing is that some of these solutions that they're going to be using are non-toxic. And in other words, they don't have the same reputation as cyanide, and they've been tested and they have shown to be non-toxic. And the second thing is the price. And so with these two ingredients, I think we've got a good chance of initiating them, but I think we're going to still run into problems in our pilot programs to determine what ill effects might occur from them. So we're going to have several very guarded pilot programs before we initiate the final large-scale mining project. But at least we're starting now, and I appreciate your call.
I think that's a characteristic of modern mining today, the concern for the environment, the impacts and all that, and mitigating those circumstances to the highest degree. And this is just another example of that, and I would, like I say, encourage you to get more information. Talk to you later.
Well,
bye.
Thank you very much for the call. Okay, well, Helen, answer this little question. You've been mining up there a long time. You mine lots of gold. You ever sell any gold to Oxford Assaying and Refining?
Yes.
Do you know anything about Oxford Assaying and Refining?
I know Dee Church.
You know Dee Church. Well, do you know that she has a lot of items over there for sale besides buying gold?
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of items over there for sale. Special little gifty type items that are...
I have bought coins over there and put them into medallions for people. I have actually sent people over to make a selection of a raw nugget that they'd like to have made into a pendant or a ring.
A little something special for that person that's very special?
Mm-hmm.
I see. And you probably know that Oxford Assaying and Refining is one of the sponsors of this program, and that in addition to being a sponsor, they go a little bit farther each week by giving away a silver coin. And today they gave away a 1 ounce 1988 silver eagle, which is a precious little metal. And don't you think there's something nice about giving precious metals as gifts? I mean, I've always given precious metals as gifts to my family because I know that they have a value in terms of dollars, but they also have a keepsake value, a precious value, you know, warmth about them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we better tell the people out there who, where, and what, right?
Yes.
They are Oxford Assaying and Refining, better known as your precious metals people.
At 208 Wendell.
And their phone number is 456-3967. And one other little item before we get away from them. We want to know about their quote line. If you would like to know the price of gold, silver, and platinum each day, the quote line is 452-7858. Once again, if you want to know the value of gold, silver, and platinum each day, the quote number is 452-7858. And today, for your information, the price of gold is $423.90. The price of silver is $6.10. And the price of platinum is $600.90.
Wow.
So, we're creeping back up there. Now, tell us more about your mining experiences out there on Porcupine Beaver. You went into mining, and do you make a good living out there? Or no, I better not ask you about dollars and cents.
No.
Tell us about the success as you developed. You started out, like you said, with small equipment.
Mm-hmm.
How small? I mean, just a tiny little sluice.
How about a number two shovel?
A number two shovel.
And a rocker box.
And a rocker box. And were you successful with that?
We succeeded in establishing there was some gold there. And that was the object of that particular exercise.
And this was an effort to kind of get an evaluation, determine whether you're going to larger scale evaluation, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And following that, what did you, that experience with the shovel and the rocker box, what did you do?
We sort of, remember gold was $35 an ounce in those days. And it took two good jobs to support one placer mine.
I see. And so what did you do? Were you working in town here?
Yes. I worked at the geophysical and Henry worked at the Institute of Marine Science.
Oh, I see. So you both had two good jobs in order to support...
one placer mine.
Your addiction out there on Porcupine Creek, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do at the Geophysical Institute?
I was a programmer.
Oh, same, kind of the same thing as you were down in at Livermore in California.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what did Henry do at the university?
He was a research technician.
A research technician.
Out on the old Ocona. That was the research vessel.
That was the vessel, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And when did you finally decide to go into mining full-time? Was that after the price of gold in 1975 started spiraling upward?
Mm-hmm.
And you began mining out there, what, full-scale?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, yeah, I think that you probably, what, did you graduate from the rocker box or did you stay with the rocker?
No, we graduated. And there were good years, Jim, and there were some bad years that... You know, the story goes the same for almost everyone who's ever dug a hole in the ground.
And what kind of equipment were you using then at that time?
Oh, D8s, D9s, loaders.
I see. And when we're talking about that kind of equipment, what kind of yardages are we talking about? What kind of 100 yards an hour, 50 yards an hour?
Well, hopefully you better get some yardage or you're not going to be feeding that equipment very long. It starts... taking, you've got to move about 100 yards an hour, 1,000 yards a day,
mm-hmm.
To support that kind of equipment on the economic level,
uh-huh.
Or grade of our ground. I think, though, I'd like to make reference, if we have a moment, to the caller who called about the non-toxic process. One of the things that's happened historically over the last 25 years, of course, has been the development of a tremendous concern on the way in which the public, quote, public lands are used, and in the development of mine processing. We were talking about the settling pond, and that, of course, was part of the effluent guideline development for EPA. One thing that I would say is dominant in the industry right now is that we actually are subject to conflicting regulations. And that at some point in time, I sincerely hope that we will see mine plant designs, which are considered to be minimal environmental, or maximum environmental compatibility, I think is the way I would like to put it, that are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the EPA wants a settling pond, but the Corps of Engineers is reluctant to have a dam.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you maybe need to say something about somebody else.
Well, I'd like to just make a comment, and I want you to all think about this question very carefully, because next week it might be very important to you. I want to know whose advertisement is on the backside of that telephone directory. Keep that in mind for next week. Oh, I might as well go ahead and tell you. It's B&L Pawn Shop. Where are they located? 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. They loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, they deal. And if you don't believe me, call them up. Their number is 452-3063 or 452-6491. You ask Killer, she'll tell you. You don't have to believe me. Ask her. They've got everything over there. Cameras, stereos, gold, TVs, videos, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, and car stereos. It's like having a huge garage sale in one store. Back to Beaver. Beaver, we got just a few seconds here, and we want to ask what you're going to do next year. You're going to go back into mining? Is your plant running pretty well? And how's the outlook?
The outlook is pretty good. We've been limited plant-wise to the 5-acre. We're operating under the 5-acre injunction. I am planning a small upgrade this season, and hopefully we'll not only have the 100% recycle on any groundwater growth, but as a zero discharge situation also. That's the plan from Plan Land, with a little reclamation thrown in.
Well, we're looking forward to working on the reclamation with you next year, Beaver. And, of course, I want to thank you for participating in Alaska Gold Trails with us this afternoon. And I also want to thank our listening audience for taking part in the program. Next week's guest will be Jerry Hassel, a longtime Alaskan. And I want you folks to know that it's been great fun. Thanks again, Beaver. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, folks, happy prospecting.
There's a chance.